slated to be completed later this year, 1,200 feet, the largest residential building in the world, really, and a growing trend worldwide in luxury living. We just couldn't say no. You know, it was just too good of an opportunity. The tallest building in the world currently is in Dubai, 2,700 feet tall. That's over half a mile tall. And it's the tallest building in the world for only a little bit longer. In Saudi Arabia, they're currently building what will soon be the tallest building in the world for a moment. The tallest building in the world in Dubai and the building, the Kingdom Tower in Saudi Arabia, both learned an architectural engineering design from someone here in the United States. But this Kingdom Tower will be 3,300 feet tall. I would imagine that in our lifetime, we will see a mile-high building. This is a rendering of that tower in Saudi Arabia. In 1937, Sears Roebuck opened up a store on Broadway in Lubbock, Texas. And they were located there on Broadway for just a little while until they launched, as you may know, on 13th Street, which is now our, for at least a little while longer, our City Hall. In 1969, Sears Roebuck, the largest retailer in the world, began plans to build, as you well know, the Willis Tower, commonly known as the Sears Tower. 1969, the largest retailer in the world began, and this design continues to inspire the megatall and super tall buildings of our world. And as you may know, Sears, not just long ago, shut its doors at the one and only South Plains Mall. Do you feel like we're talking about the mall more than we ever thought we might? I feel that way. And as the Sears comes down in our community and communities across really the world, as these massive brick buildings come down, there is confusion, there is disorder, there is a spreading of languages, sometimes with four letters. In the beginning, in Genesis 1 and in Genesis 2, the primary act, it seems that God seems to be instituting, that God seems to be breathing into creation. The primary assertion about life in these early stages of Genesis 1 and 2 is that God creates in order. There is order in the work of God. An incredible assertion to begin our scriptures. And then for the next essentially nine chapters from Genesis 2.5 to the end of Genesis 11 is an onslaught of human imperfection, deceit, murder, brokenness, and that good Baptist word, sin. And I would suggest to you here in our story of Genesis 11, the primary assertion, what we're seeing here about humanity more than anything else, is the impact of ego. And that divine order that was originally instituted into all things for 11 chapters has danced with human disorder. And as we've read... And I think probably what we're dealing with here is an ancient story that is telling what happens when humans encounter a new technology. The technology that has been discovered here is that the people in this area have learned how to make bricks. The literal Hebrew at this point, we read it to say that they've been baking bricks thoroughly. The literal Hebrew says bricking bricks, you bricking bricks. And unlike them, you know, we today, we don't do this, but their neighbors had built a tower ever so tall out of stone. And so now with the new technology of bricks, totally unlike today, we would build a tower. These folks decide to build a tower just a little bit taller. And they'll build a city with this new technology. And in this city, everyone will be united. We will all see this tower that stretches to the heavens, and it will give us a single referent point, a single language that helps us identify with the divine. You see, when new technologies are introduced, humans get building. In October 2018, the very month that Sears Roebuck stores across the nation were closing, Forbes writes an article comparing the brilliance of Sears with the brilliance of Amazon. Amazon began a small company selling one thing, books. Sears began a company selling one thing. Do you know what it is? Watches. And with the advent of the internet, Amazon grows into the largest retailer the world has ever seen. And it was with the advent of the railroad. With the advent of the railroad, Sears in 1927 sent out 75 million circulars and catalogs. Pause for our young people. These are like ads that come on the internet, but instead they're mailed to your home. Sears, taking advantage of technology, grows to be the largest retailer the world had ever known up until that point, and has and is falling. And like Sears, Amazon doesn't exist in heaven. It will one day fall. Jeff, Mr. Bezos, give me a call. We can talk about how to navigate that. I'd be glad to help you. As new technologies are invented, humans take off. There was a new technology invented, and the Egyptians grabbed hold of it. The new technology was slavery. And the Egyptians enslaved the Hebrew people and said to the Hebrew people, "You will brick bricks. And you will brick bricks so that we can build our palaces, so that we can build our altars, so that we can build our tombs." And with the strength of God, Moses and Aaron come along to Pharaoh and said, "Give us reprieve. Let us wander into the wilderness that we might worship the Lord and then return to our brick making." And Pharaoh laughs at them and says, "Now you will brick double." You know, we say something with our bricks. I've been on the campus many times. But it wasn't until this week, after writing a sermon about bricks, that I noticed the color of the bricks on the ground at Texas Tech University. Red and black bricks, strategically placed, saying something. What are we saying with our bricks? What are we building? Who are we building for? What are we building with? There's a street in Richmond, Virginia that runs through the heart of the city. All the whole oldest and nicest, most expensive homes are on this Monument Avenue. These homes date back to just after the Civil War. And although Richmond is a thriving city, even in the revolutionary history of America, the Confederate soldiers burnt the city to the ground as they retreated away from the north. And it is this street that is lined with bricks. Monument Avenue, lined with bricks that came over on ships. They were the shape of crates that came over on slave trade ships from Africa. And as they came, they took those slave trade stones and created a road right from down at the bottom of the hill at the center of the slave trade of the United States down through the prettiest part of the city. At the beginning of this road, in the median of Monument Avenue, is a tribute to Jeb Stuart, Confederate general. Just a little bit further is a tribute to Robert E. Lee, Confederate general. Just a little bit further, in front of Richmond's First Baptist Church, is a tribute to Stonewall Jackson. Strong as a stone wall, Allison said it every time we drove past that monument. And just a little bit further, down past, finally, the bricks have run out. There is a monument to Arthur Ashe, an African-American tennis player. My friend David had been all over the world, and he said, Jake, north and south and east and west, I have never seen a city so decorated to men who lost a war. And before you email me, I'm not here to make a comment. Today's purposes are not about our monuments. I would ask that you bring your attention below the monument to what's holding it up. It's bricks. Bricking bricks. And I spent many miles and mornings running down Monument Avenue. And nowadays, although it doesn't look like it, I spent miles and hours running down Broadway here in Lubbock, Texas, lined with bricks. I've spent miles and hours running down Broadway, running through the heart of our city, lined with bricks. The very street that Sears Roebuck began here in our fine city. Have you ever driven down any of these streets? Man, get your kids, get your grandkids today and go drive down Broadway or drive down Main Street real slow, okay? It's like a free massage. The reverb of the brick gives a hum that vibrates the seat like those old cars. It's fantastic. I don't recommend that you run down these streets. It starts with a bit of novelty, but then as fatigue sets in, and I have the spiritual gift of klutz, and the more tired I get, the more these slight edges that have popped up. I'm sure the road was paved nice and smooth when those bricks were originally laid, but now there are these little bumps. And I am sure to catch one and quickly find myself on my face and on my palms. This is what bricks can do to us. What are we building? Who are we building for? What are we building with? And I would like to suggest that one definition of peace is not the absence of disorder. You know who else was good at building? The Romans. They didn't build as much with bricks. They built roads. They built towers and fortresses. And one of the best things they built that really worked for them were crosses. Said a lot about who they were and what they were about. They would build these crosses. And Christ did not reject the disorder. Christ received it and redeemed it. And as we've read today in John 14, looking to the cross, looking beyond to the promise of His Holy Spirit, He says, "My peace I will send to you. My peace I give to you." And Christ receives the disorder, receives the bricking of this world and redeems it. After being discovered in John as the gardener, finally appearing to his best friends in a room, the very first proclamation of a new reality that the king proclaims to the people, he says, "Peace be with you." The kingdoms of this world in one form or another will come down. And as these towers, as these bricks come down, disorder, the confusion of communication and language are necessary as a result. And Christ is building a kingdom that will not fall, that will not end, whose love and grace and boundaries are without limits. A kingdom whose bricks and foundations are made of peace. Let us not build with brick. Let us not build with ego. Let us receive the disorder of the world that the Spirit of God in Christ might redeem it and build something in peace. Let's pray together. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, O God. May the foundation of all creation here and beyond be upon your peace. And we confess the disorder and the chaos of our lives, our families, our workplaces, our world. We confess that we may seek the easy path to simply reject it, but you, O God, received that which is better. You did not reject disorder, you redeemed it. You were big and bold enough to receive it. And by your power, your kingdom come, established upon a peace in which no other kingdom the world has ever known. May your peace be upon these people, my friends, my brothers and sisters. May your peace, O Christ, be upon our city and our communities. May your peace, O Christ, be upon our world. And may all things proclaim your grace and your goodness. We pray in your name, the name that is above and beyond, the name that is before and within all names, the name of true love, in the name of the Prince of Peace, we pray. Amen.